Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, it's a great Sunday morning to be at James River Church. We got Dino Rizzo in the house this morning. How many excited about that? And man, if you were here for Sizzling Summer Series when Dino was here, man, he tore it up. And then our Life Group Leaders Conference this week. How many of you were a part of Life Group Leaders Conference? It was great. Three people on the front row here. Actually, it was a lot more than that. It was huge. And one of the best messages I'd ever heard at a Life Group Leaders Conference was preached by Pastor Dino. And he's an awesome leader, awesome person. He's got his wife, Daylin, with him here today. She's with us. Can you give her a cheer? Can you maybe give us a wave? Give us a wave. Cool family. His son Dylan was here last time. They're awesome, awesome people. And Pastor Dino, he's the executive director of the Association of Related Churches and the ARC. Maybe you've heard of ARC. They plant churches like crazy in the ARC and doing a great work. And then he's also on staff. They're on staff together at Church of the Highlands, one of the great churches in the country. He's an author. He's a leader. He's a fantastic speaker. And so I hope you lean in this morning. Expect God to speak to you this morning, because he has a great word. But would you give a hand for Pastor Dino Rizzo as he comes to the platform this morning?
All right, come on, let's clap our hands for Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about him. That's awesome. You can be seated. What a great church. I love coming to James River. It's always an honor for Dylan and I to get to be a part of what God is doing here. And I just truly love this church. I love what God is doing at all the different campuses, at the West Campus, and those that are watching online. Thanks for being a part. And you're going north. I mean, what a great idea. I love when a church makes a decision to create more space. And as Pastor Brandon talked about, being able to move and shift, how important that is. It's a deep need because it creates more space for more people. God gives us more space so that we can reach more souls, and we live in a broken, hurting humanity, and so much does God need what James River is all about, reaching people, loving people, letting people know that they matter. And so just love this church and excited about the future. It's been an honor to be here this weekend with the Life Group Conference, and just neat to see all the different leaders. Let me tell you something. If you're not in a Life Group, you make sure today you go into the atrium and you sign up for this next semester. You go online, you find that group that you can be a part of. I know in my own life, made three good decisions. It's when I accepted Jesus. It's when I asked Dylan to be my wife. And thank God she said yes. That was a little iffy there for a few moments. It's tough when you fall in love and the girl that you're in love with, she's still in like, if you know what I'm talking about. So it's hard to say I love you. And when somebody tells you back, thank you, that's not a good sign, my brother. You may need to back that train up. And so eventually I convinced her. And so that was the second best decision. The third best decision I ever made was when I said yes and got involved with the local church through a small group, because it began to impact my life. It began to create a safe place for me to find freedom in my life. So I just want to encourage you to make sure, if you've never been to a life group, give it a chance. So often the next thing that God would like to do in your life is right outside of your current comfort zone. And I just want to encourage you to be a part of a life group. I know what this church is all about, their generosity and their heart. It'll impact you and your family, whatever stage you are in your life. So we love being here at James River. Your generosity, the vision that you have for people, the way that you're impacting lives all across this community, but then also across the world. I want to thank you for giving to Louisiana. Dylan and I pastored there for 20 years, actually pastored in Baton Rouge, and we've been on the phone just nonstop the last 2 weeks talking with pastors and churches. Literally, there were pastors that not only had 4 or 5 feet of water in their own home, but then also 4 or 5 feet of water in their church. And I talked to one yesterday that does not have insurance in neither his church or his home, and is going to have to rebuild in both situations. Your gift and your generosity is going to make a huge difference. I could tell you that firsthand. So thanks a lot for giving. And again, you have pastors that are generous. And Dylan and I love your pastors. It's awesome to be around Pastor John and Debbie. Dylan and Debbie are good friends. And I like just being around Pastor John. He's just wise. The whole time I'm with him, I think he thinks I'm texting. I'm taking notes because what he's saying to me, I'm going to use again, if you know what I'm talking about. Because he's such wisdom and such love. And this church is impacting. We get to work with church planters. years, every single day. And we're always referring to churches that are really doing it right, and people that have a heart like you, and the worship and how you're getting cared for your children in the children's space, and just the excellence when you walk through this campus, of course, at West and North. And so we're just grateful for this church and so thankful. You got great pastors and great leadership. Love this family. Why don't you clap your hands for your pastors? They're just amazing. Love the Lindles. They're awesome. They're the real deal. Close friends. These are good days. We love what God is doing at Church of the Highlands, where we're on staff in Birmingham and Ark, where we plant churches. We've been doing it for 15 years. Dylan and I have been a part of that. Now we get to lead that. And it's awesome. This fall, we will plant on one day, September the 18th. We're going to be planting 51 churches this fall. But just on September the 18th, we'll plant 36 churches just on that day in the United States and Canada. Come on, old Canada. So that's exciting. And then our family's doing well. Our daughter graduated from LSU and has gone on staff at Church of the Highlands in their student area. And our son was playing football down in Florida. Now he's with us in Birmingham, going to go to Highlands College Ministry School. And then our daughter is 15 years old. She's in the 10th grade. Looks just like her mama. She takes after her mama. And she's Delin and my wife Delin and we've been married 28 years and we'll have a daughter. Her and Bella, it's Isabella's our baby. They're the best Christians I know. I mean, they're like the spiritual ones in the home. Us, the other three are trying to catch up. And our daughter got asked to homecoming this week, which is a big deal. You do it beforehand, and it's like you take pictures. It's all about social media. And she informed me that the young man who asked her to go, he drives. And I said, well, that's good for him. He ain't driving that night, if you know what I'm talking about. And she said, oh, yes, he is. And I said, well, I'm a ride along. Come on, dad ride along, homecoming. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm from Alabama. I will bring my weapon, if you know what I'm talking about. That's a joke. But our family's doing well. And again, it's an honor for Delin and I to be here and just so thankful to be able to be a part of this and have Delin with me here today. But if you have your Bible, I'm going to read two scriptures in the Old Testament. And I love this time of year. It's a fun time for us. Our baby cheers. We love football games and love the fall season and the true seasons and all those things. We enjoy that time. I think fall is always a good time. It's almost like another reset. It's a time where we get our schedules back together. It's a time that we can get focused. It's a time that we can get some structures. I even think it's a time for new beginnings. I know the summer, sometimes we're a little scattered, but it's a time to get back in church. It's a time to join a life group. It's a time to get focused. And so often God is wanting to give us those new beginnings. And I see all over Scripture these moments where God is wanting people to embrace the idea of a new beginning. So I want to talk around that idea of turn the page. I love how God gives promises to people all throughout Scripture. And we'll look at those two in the Old Testament in just a moment, where God gives a promise to his people that you can turn the page. You can begin again. You can start over. You can have a blank slate, a blank page in your life because of what he did for us. And I want to talk a little bit kind of around that idea of hashtag turn the page. So let's all pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for what you're doing at James River, at every campus. Those watching online today, God, Lord, let them know that they matter. Lord, I thank you for this amazing church. We thank you for our pastors and the leadership, the giving, the generosity of this house. So Lord, speak to us today, God. You know what's going on in our life. You know what's happening. Lord, I just believe that someone needs to hear today that God, you can help them turn the page in their life. So Lord, let it happen again. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, and everyone said a good amen. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, I'm glad you made it to church today. Come on, be nice. Come on, look at that other person that was your second choice, because there's always one, and tell them, you look like you could use a little church, my friend. My friend. Israel in the Old Testament goes through a lot. They have a lot of ups and downs. A lot of times they gave up on themselves. A lot of times a lot of people gave up on them. But God never gave up on them. God was always offering them a promise in their moments that they could turn the page, or they could reset through repentance and looking to him. And there's two scriptures, one in Isaiah and one in Lamentations, where God reminds his people that they do not have to stay stuck in a failure or stuck in a moment or stuck in a bad decision, but they can move on in their life. One is in Isaiah 43, verse 18 through 19. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider. I think that's an interesting word. That word consider means over and over again. You ponder, you think, you go over it again. Old history, you keep refreshing as if it's present history. Do not consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even, I love this, I will even, he kind of adds more to it. I will even make you a road in the wilderness, and I will give rivers in the desert. He says, in your wilderness, in your place that you're wandering, I will bring a path. I will bring a way to you in those moments. Not only will I bring a road in your wilderness, I will bring a river into your desert. I will bring a refreshing into your place of lack, your place of barrenness. I will bring that river into the wasteland. One of the versions in Scripture says, verse 19, it says, I will bring you water into your badlands. All of us have bad seasons and bad decisions, and we've had bad experiences and bad moments in our life. And God gives a promise that I'll bring a refreshing, I'll bring a new beginning to those badlands. I love what Lamentations, and many people call it the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament, the book of tears. Lamentations 3, 22 through 28 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Never. That's twice. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Can I have a good amen for God's word? But what a truth. They never cease. They never come to an end. Matter of fact, they're going to be new every single morning when you wake up. God is saying to the children of Israel, and he says to us today at James River and those that are watching, he says, stop going back over and over again on your old history. I want to set you in a place where you can move on. Matter of fact, I want you to go to bed and I want you to sleep. I don't want you to lay down in turmoil. I don't want you to keep rehearsing and going over and over again the mistake and the pain and the season that brought you so much tragedy into your life. I want you to go to bed and I want you to sleep because I have so much faith. There's so much faithfulness that when you wake up in the morning, they're going to be standing there waiting on you beside your bed. They're going to meet you. So go on to bed. New mercies will be waiting on you. They're not going to run out. They're not going to expire. They're not going to dwindle or deplete. The mercies are plenty for you so that you can begin again and you can believe for the best. You know, I've been in ministry. I'll celebrate this year, I believe, 32 years in ministry. And so I remember my first ministry opportunity. I'd been to Bible college for about 9 months, and my pastor that sent me to Bible college asked me to come back and take over the youth group, begin a youth group. And so I'd been to Bible school for 9 months, so I was pretty much a theologian. I was pretty much a biblical genius in all scripture and exegeting thoughts and things. And so so I came back, and I was pretty much a big deal. I mean, I'd been to Bible school. I was a big deal. I was pretty it on a stick. And I kind of showed up and thought, I'm going to fix everything, not just the youth group. I have come to save the whole church. Because you need me. You obviously need my help and my brilliant thoughts. And first night of youth group, it didn't go well. It didn't go well. I brought the ice in too early and it was all melted. Yeah, I didn't have the chairs right. Tables weren't right. But my preaching was a little weak. Let's just say it was a lot weak. And then I went too long, and the parents were outside banging on the door, blowing horns. And I messed up the whole flow of the hallways, and it was bad. And what happened was that kept repeating on the Wednesday night. I just could never get it off the ground. I could never move forward. It kept getting worse and worse. And I found myself in this, I want you to hear, this rut of failure. This rut of making, I almost felt like I was paralyzed in bad decisions. And I was bumming. And I'm an Italian. I can't really hide it. If I'm down, man, everybody's going to know it. If I'm kind of bummed out, I'm just going to let you know it. And I kind of was letting people know it. Man, I don't think I'm going to do this. Maybe there's something else for me to do. Maybe I need to pursue another career. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. And this our associate pastor, who was Hawaiian, And he stopped me one day in the hallway and said, hey, man, I want you to come see me after lunch because I would like to tell you about my mama's biscuits. But no, I don't know your mama. And I don't know nothing about your mama's biscuits. So I came in that afternoon, I sat down, and he asked me how things were going, and I began to tell him my failures. I began to tell him the fear of the future. I began to tell him the mistakes that I was making and how I just couldn't pull this together. And everybody knew it, and I was a little embarrassed. And I remember he looked at me and said, son, let me tell you something about my mama. My mama can cook biscuits well. My mother cooks biscuits amazing. I mean, she, big fluffy biscuits. They're just amazing. They come out of the oven real warm and fluffy. But I'm going to tell you, every once in a while, my mother forgets, and she's getting a little older. And there's been times that my mother, she has burned the biscuits. Can I tell you something? That just because my mama burns the biscuits once or twice doesn't mean that I don't go back into the kitchen and eat the biscuits. Can I tell you something? He wasn't talking about his mama, nor was he talking about biscuits. He was talking about the principle of life, that just because there's a bad season or a bad moment or a bad relationship or a bad experience doesn't mean you don't trust God, doesn't mean you don't stand on God's promises, doesn't mean that you don't give a life group or you give church or you give people a chance again. Come on, somebody, think about that. It's the same way in relationships. It's the same way with belief. It's the same way with hope looking forward. It is not God's will that you and I stay stuck in a moment. It is not his will that we are bound to one page. It's not his plan that we continue to reread or repeat or be frozen in a moment in our life, rehearsing the loss and the pain and the mistake and the hurt. It is God's will that you and I turn the page. Because we have to remember the little principle that in life you can't start a new chapter if you're constantly and currently rereading the last chapter over and over and over again. It's not easy to turn the page sometimes. It's not easy to move on. It's not easy to get past our fear or our failure or the falls that happen in our life. I know it in my own life. Sometimes it's easier to feel the warmth of yesterday than to believe God for the promise and the brightness of tomorrow. And often we're in relationships or we're in environments that want to remind us of our yesterdays, and they want to lock us in maybe something that happened that we wish would have not have happened, that's trying to define us in our life. And the Word of God is so full of so many promises and so full of so many examples. We can look at lives that had to turn the page. They had to take that step. They had to make that choice. They had to make a decision to turn the page in their own life. And I think about David who he made some mistakes. He had some bad choices. He made bad choices that hurt other people. He made bad choices that were totally against God's plan in his life, and he could have been defined by that. He could have stayed in that, but what did he do? He decided to believe for mercy and grace and forgiveness, and because of that, he turned the page to continue to fulfill the destiny on his life. Think about Moses, who made some tough decisions where they hurt others, and he, you know, when he began, he didn't begin too good. He made some bad choices, hurt other people, angry, pain, reaction. And then all of a sudden, he looked at all of his limitations. And he looked at the things he couldn't do and the things that he felt he was limited in. But because of God and because of God's word and because of God's promise and God speaking to him, he had a choice at that moment to stay stuck in his past or to turn the page and be the deliverer that God wanted him to be by God's power. I think of Ruth in the Old Testament. She had to leave her family. She had to leave what she knew. She had to leave the comfort and maybe what she thought was going to fulfill her life. And she had to leave that and have faith in a new season and believe for things that maybe she did not see currently. And she made that decision and she impacted her generation for God. So many stories in the Bible are about page turners. I even think of Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus, who made, wow. When you think of, you know, in the hall of shame, he would be in the hall of shame. There Jesus is arrested and he's got nobody, and Peter tries to follow him, and he's in the courtyard of the chief priest, and they walk out and say, don't you know Jesus?
Aren't you one of his followers? It's the night before Jesus is to be crucified. Peter says, no, I don't know him. And then someone else recognizes Peter and says, I know you're one of his disciples. You are a follower of Jesus. And he looks and says, no, I'm not. Boy, could he not have been frozen in his failure? Could he have not been defined by that moment? If there's anyone that could have lived life for the remainder of his life in the chapter of condemnation, in the chapter of guilt, it could have been Peter. But he decided when Jesus came to him and Jesus reached out to him that I'm not going to be defined by my failure. I'm not going to be defined by that fear. I'm going to turn the page and believe God. And look how God used him. Amen. They're all over Scripture. Because what happens is when you and I, when we don't turn the page, we miss out on the things that God wants to do in our family and our life. We make that choice. We miss out on amazing things, on incredible seasons, on a next chapter that could be totally different for our family and totally different for our future. But we stay stuck in a chapter. You know, I can remember, I don't know if many of you may not remember this, but there was a day that there was no such thing as a Starbucks. I know some of you, you thought there was a barista on the Mayflower. They came over with their machine. Just kind of, that's how it's always been. It's always been, I remember getting my dad a cup of coffee back in the day that cost a quarter. And it only came three ways: black with sugar, black with sugar and cream. You were your own personal barista. And then I can remember when I went to my first Starbucks. It was in Memphis, Tennessee with a friend of mine. And he knew, do you know when you have a friend who knows something about something that you don't know about and it's really cool and you don't know it and it makes them so much cooler than you because they're like, hey, I mean, he told me, he said, hey, before we go to church, let's go by Starbucks. It's like, what is that? What are we doing? Are we studying the planets or what are we going to do? What are you doing? Is it a observatory? What are we doing? You know, it's the place where you hang out. It's the third place. So what do you mean, third base? Is it a baseball field? You know, no, you're going to hang out there. You're on Wi-Fi. What is Wi-Fi? You drink coffee and you talk and you read a book and you put on your headphones and it's so cool. I don't know anything about that. So I'll go and it's just so cool. I mean, people are in there and there's music playing. It's like, what's up? And you walk up and it's like an encyclopedia. It's like a macchiato, an Americana. What is this? And then you order, and then I didn't forget the first time I ordered, and he says, can I have your name? Why you want my name for? I don't know you. You don't know me. He says, no, I want to write your name on the cup. Really? It's Dino. Yabba dabba doo. It's awesome. He writes my name on the cup, and when your order's ready, they call your name. Dino, your beverage is ready. It's like you're in a pageant. Thank you very much. It's a grande. It's a grande. See you tomorrow. I mean, it's so cool. It's just so cool. And so a couple years later, we get a Starbucks in Baton Rouge. And I kind of know about it, and it's kind of awesome. And so I go a couple of times. It's so cool when you know people. And they had a patio area. This other one, this is like a big outdoor area where people are sitting. Their dogs are there. It's workout clothes, and they're talking. They're reading books. They're blogging, which is so awesome. And they're just real smart. And you go a couple of times, they know your name. Hey, Dino, hey. How y'all doing? Everybody's like, this is cool. And so I go the next day, and they have done construction. And there is now a curb where there was not a curb the day before. And I'm in a hurry. Big man in a hurry. That sets off an alarm in heaven. Special angels are assigned to a big man in a hurry. Because when you get mass and velocity, it spells train wreck. And I'm running, and I hit the curb. Let me tell you something. When you're a medium and you fall, it ain't a big deal. My wife falls all the time. It's cute. She's going, oh, okay. Wow. She just bounces back. Oh, my gosh. That's so awesome, baby. You look great. He's like, wow, I was attracted to you in that fall. When a double X man falls, it's frightening. because your junk goes everywhere. It's just every keys, BlackBerry. Come on, somebody. I eat it. I bust my shin. I hurt my head. I roll, and it's close. I roll up like to the door, and there are children like, oh gosh. I mean, there are people like, oh, it scared people. And I stand up, and I'm okay. You know when you fall and you think you're hurt, you're a little scared. Like, oh, boy. Oh, I was kind of nervous. I walk in, and everybody's just frozen. Dude, that was frightening. The guy's like, kid, Dina, would you like your venti? Can I have a coffee? I leave there. Craziest thing. Next day, I go to a restaurant, meet a friend. He's on his computer, and he's on his computer, and he's... He's laughing. I said, hey, I sit down. What you laughing at? He said, man, there was a dude yesterday at Starbucks. Yeah, yeah. Blogging, live blogging. He said, I'm watching, and an older, overweight man just ate it. How you like me now? Check it out. He says, weren't you at Starbucks yesterday? Here's a crazy thing. For a year, I wouldn't go back to Starbucks. Wouldn't go to the drive-thru. Well, I go out of town with people. Let's go to Starbucks. No, man, let's go to McDonald's. We're not going to Starbucks. Have better coffee. Let's go to Dairy Queen. I mean, there was just no way. I was not going. And I'll never forget, after about a year, I started thinking, man, I'm missing the environment. I'm missing that space. I'm missing that joy that I enjoy. I haven't been able to check out that white chocolate mocha grande with no whip, well stirred. I'm cheating myself out of something I enjoy. And I made a decision that I was not going to let my failure and my fall and my fear keep me away from something that I enjoyed. Can I tell you something? So often in our life, we believe the lie that you can't turn the page on your marriage and with your kids, that you just stay stuck in those moments. I'm here to tell you that you can turn the page. I want you to hear me. You can. I want you to remember this big idea. If there's anything we get to remember today, I want you to remember that your past failure, they are lessons. They are not your life sentences. There are lessons to learn. There's something to extract so that you can help someone else, so that you can be better, so that you can change, so that you can move on. They're not your life sentence that for the rest of your life, you are marked by that failure. You are marked by that fall. You are marked by that misstep. You can turn the page in your life and in your faith and in your commitment and in your dream that God has given you. That's what this church is all about. That's why we have life groups. That's why we do everything we can to pray, where people come forward and pray, and we spend time with God. Why? To believe that faith and hope is going to mingle together. It's going to cause you to believe for a new beginning, to walk out of here and to walk away and say, I can start over. I can believe again. I can keep moving. We've missed out on too many things. We've missed out on too many people that we can impact for the cause of Jesus Christ. People are waiting on us to move on. People are waiting for us to turn the page. Why? Because we will help them turn their page. People are wanting you to open up a new chapter. Your family, your friends are wanting you to start a new chapter. Why? Because you're going to be the one that helps them start a new chapter in their life. It's just how the kingdom works. I want to finish up, and I want to give you some application and hopefully help you, and these are things that are helping me in my life, and I want to finish up and give you three ways to turn the page. Maybe you want to jot these down. Maybe you want to take notes on these. Three ways to turn the page. Here's the first one. Number one, in your heart. Just turn the page in your heart. I love how the Bible says that I guard my heart. I guard, how important is the heart? Over 300 times the scripture talks about our heart. I love in Kings chapter 8, it has this phrase, may we turn our hearts to him. Lord, let me be able to turn my heart. And you say, well, how do I turn my heart? Here's what I believe. I believe that when you decide that I'm going to give worship a chance and I'm going to lean into the word, I believe worship in the word creates a surrendered heart. And a surrendered heart is a heart that's willing to turn. That's why worship, our time of worship, it's so amazing. You hear the word here at James River. Pastor John and the team, Pastor John preaches the word. Why? Because the word is that thing that it gets in there and it tills up the soil and it begins to soften the pain and the hardness. And it gives it where we can turn our hearts to Jesus, that we can walk in the door and in an hour and a half of being together in a life group, all of a sudden we start turning the page on those things. Because the truth of the matter is, you can't turn an outside page if you haven't turned an inside page. Got to turn it in your heart first. Those outside things follow your heart. First place we do is we turn the page in our heart. Here's the second one, is we turn the page in our mind. How important is our thinking? Romans 12 talks about renewing our mind. The renewing our mind with the Word of God. The water of the Word cleanses us from what Joyce Myers calls that stinking thinking. Just caught up with all that stinking thinking, bad thoughts and wrong thoughts, and I can't, and he won't, and it won't happen in my life. We have to renew our mind with the Scripture. There are so many Scriptures that speak to the renewing of the mind. I think of Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Lord, help my mind to be focused on you. Help me to lock my mind on you and on your words. I think of Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Help me to keep my mind on things that are above, what you can do, God, and what you are doing in my life. I think of James chapter 1, verse 8. He is a double-minded man. Help me not to be double-minded and unstable, where I keep going back and forth. And when I face something, I go back and I reread or I rehearse a pain or a problem. But I continue to look forward into what God is doing. The reason why I can do that is because of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and what? A sound mind. A sound mind. I love the Scripture and the thought. I love what A. Allen said. He said, before we can talk as Christ talked, walk as Christ walked, we must first begin to think as Christ thought. On heavenly things. On the will of my Father. That God can and God will. I could trust Him for better days. He's with me. I'm not alone. And then the last thing, in your heart, in your mind, and then in your action. In your action. Ephesians says these whole phrases, and I love a phrase in Ephesians chapter 4 that says that we put off the former things and we put on a new mind and a new man. We put off and we put on. It's like taking a step. My question today for each of us is, what step do you and I need to take today that would help us turn the page? The greatest way we turn the page is saying yes to Jesus in our heart. Maybe it's in our mind. We just say, you know, I'm no longer going to think that way. I'm no longer think about that person that way. I'm going to take a step towards forgiveness. Maybe the step is saying something to someone. I love you, or I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? How am I going to let that go? Maybe the step is in an action where we give, we serve, we sign up for a life group, we make a new commitment, we believe for new things, we step out and do some things we've never done before. We're putting off and we're putting on. Because here's what I believe. I believe that many of you today, I believe your one decision and one choice, your one page turn from beginning a new chapter in your life. Wouldn't it be great to know that God has a brand new chapter for your life? He does. He has a new chapter for your life. And it's full of amazing things. It may be full of a few struggles. Maybe full of a few lessons. But I'm going to tell you this, you won't be alone in that chapter. You won't be by yourself, because he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, let's make a decision to turn the page today. Amen.